Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel for Palm Sunday, especially these words. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." So far the text. You know, for many years, for some reason, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's lectionary system has today as the Sunday of the Passion, and so we have the Lord Passion reading. And so basically, we never get to celebrate Palm Sunday. And I'm not sure why they decided that it was a good idea to skip that. It's such an important Sunday as we lead into Holy Week. It is almost like a living parable. I mean, think of the parables Jesus tells. It's like that. The king is coming into his city, and he's coming for salvation. What's also kind of important, I think, is on that Sunday, like every Sunday, the priests in the temple would sing out a specific psalm. It was Psalm 24. And so as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, they're in the temple singing, "Lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory." Doesn't that sound exactly like what's happening on Palm Sunday? I mean, the King of glory is coming into his city. And it's a time of great emotion. One emotion, obviously, would be that of joy. I mean, if you look on the front of your bulletin today, it's a lot of joy expressed there. Joy coming from the 12 disciples, joy coming from a larger group of disciples around them. Certainly a lot of joy coming from the majority of people coming into the city with him. And those would be the people from Galilee that he and the disciples had traveled with all the way down to come to the Passover. They'd heard his teaching. They'd seen his miracles. They thought he was the Messiah. And so, obviously, they're joyful. I could think of two other guys that would have been there who Jesus had just transformed their lives, both in Jericho. One was blind Bartimaeus, who Jesus gave his sight, and the other was Zacchaeus, who Jesus allowed to become part of the kingdom of David again. I'm sure they're both there, celebrating and rejoicing. But along with the joy, there's also another emotion, hate and frustration. That would be the Pharisees, as usual. Now, for 2+ years, they've been trying to undercut Jesus' ministry and keep people from following him. And now look at what happens. Everybody's following him. And you can just see how frustrated they are in these last words of theirs. The whole world is following them. Another emotion we don't often think about would be fear. A lot of people in Jerusalem realize this is Passover. And at the Passover, there was a special select group of Roman cohorts, okay, of soldiers who would be in Jerusalem. And they were there to make sure that there was not a riot. So the Romans aren't too happy when they see large crowds of people, and especially see someone coming riding into Jerusalem like a king. And so some people, I'm sure, were very fearful that the Romans might overreact to this and start killing everybody, which they have a tendency of doing in Jerusalem. It's happened like 2 or 3 times prior to this. Another one you don't really see looking at the front of the bulletin is sadness, because Jesus was weeping as he came into his kingdom. He said, "I wish I could just, you know, bring you to myself and protect you like a hen protects its chicks, but you would not." They're all rejoicing in him now, and he realizes that in a few days the city will reject him, deny him, and have him killed. And that's why Jesus weeps. But I think the one emotion that was the most overriding one that day was confusion. Nobody really knows what's going on, all right? And they're looking at Jesus coming in. They think they understand what the situation is, and they just don't know. You ever had that coincidence in your life where you look at someone you think you know, and it's not the person you're looking at? A number of years ago, I went to a St. Paul Saints game, and I went to get some food with my son. Now, my son had this incredibly annoying habit where he'd always walk directly behind me. Isn't that annoying? You know? So when I'd be in large crowds, I'd always lose him, right? I didn't know he'd be right behind me. And I'd turn, and he'd turn right behind me. You know? And it was at the Knights game, and it happened again. And I'm looking around. I can't find him. All of a sudden, there's a tug on my shirt, and I whip around, and I start chewing him out. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? What are you thinking? Does anybody know the kind of unofficial mascot for the Knights? Yeah. Is he a tall fella? No. He is a little guy, the same height as my son was at the time. By the way, I think he's a pastor in Albany, just so you know that. But he was the same size as my son. He was wearing the same shirt, except all of a sudden I realized I was looking into the face of an adult. And I just went, whoa! It just, I mean, it really threw me off. But, well, he had a really good laugh about that, but I didn't. And I tell you, that's how people were viewing Jesus. They looked at Jesus, were sure they knew who he was, and really didn't. They're confused. A lot of the people who are really confused are the people coming out of Jerusalem. Now, when we look at this, the people coming into Jerusalem are mainly Galileans. The people in the city would have heard of Jesus, certainly, but they'd never heard his teaching, by and large, never seen a miracle, never seen any of these things. And so they really don't know who he is. And so in another text, they say, hey, who is this guy? And they answer him, it's Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet. And two out of three ain't bad, right? It is Jesus. He's from Nazareth. Not quite a prophet. He's a whole lot more than that. Now, when I look at all the emotions that are being displayed here on Palm Sunday and all the characters that we've talked about and different groups of people, there's one person I haven't mentioned, or I should say one thing. And I got to thinking about that this last week as I was thinking about going back to Seward here pretty soon to help my daughter pack up, bring her home. Every time I go there, and I go into her where her studio is, her art studio, it's in the same hall that used to be my dining hall. So it brings back all kinds of memories. And I always walk down one hall to get there, and I walk by her advisor, who's the head of the art department, walk by his office. And I always remember the same thing. That's the exact office where I met with three professors on my second day there, my freshman year. It was a pre-seminary meeting. So they met with all the pre-seminarians. And it was to give me a psychological test. They don't do that anymore. When I went to the seminary, guess what happened? Psychological test. Okay? They did it to everyone, by the way. It wasn't just, you know, one look at me and psychological test. No. Everybody got them. But I still remember some of the really weird questions they asked me. So one of the questions was, if you were an animal, what would you be? I don't know what they're going to glean from that, but I just thought, and I said, well, a great blue heron. And they said, why? And I said, well, because I could just spend the rest of my life just cruising over the water. You know, I even did that. And they looked at me like, who is this, you know? But there was a shortage of pastors, so, you know, they had to move on. And so we got to the second question, and they read this text. Okay, a Palm Sunday. And they would say to me, in this story, who are you? And I thought to myself, well, I better not say Jesus. That would be bad. And so I go, a disciple. And they go, why? And I said, well, because I follow Jesus, but I usually don't know what's going on. Which I thought was a really good answer, you know. But then they asked me a follow-up question, say, okay, the same story of Palm Sunday, who would you want to be? And I don't know, I think it had something to do with that first question about an animal. Because I said, I'd want to be the donkey. And they go, why? I said, well, he seems to be the only one who knows what he's doing that day. I don't know if that was the right answer or not, but they passed me. But really, that's not an original thought. Okay, a lot of people have had that thought. Martin Luther, in Bondage of the Will, said we are all donkeys. He uses a different word, which I will not state. But he says we're all donkeys. And it just depends on who your rider is. It's either God or Satan, one or the other. But my favorite quote is from Corrie Ten Boom. Remember her? She was big in the 60s and 70s, I think. Someone asked her how she stayed humble. I love her answer. She said, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, on the back of a donkey, everyone was waving palm branches and throwing garments onto the road and singing praises. Do you think that for one moment it ever entered the head of that donkey that any of that was for him? She continued, if I can be the donkey on which Jesus rides in his glory, I give him all the praise and all the honor. And I think it's really important that we try to be like this donkey, all right? Because in many ways we are. Number one, Jesus had claimed the donkey, right? It was his. He says, if anybody bothers you about getting the donkey, say the master has need of it. And that's exactly what happened, and it was his. He had claimed that donkey. And literally, that donkey is carrying Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. He's literally carrying the salvation of the world into this city where he'll die on a cross to save us from our sin. Jesus has claimed us. We are not just his children, we are his. And like this donkey, he uses us to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that desperately needs to hear it, to people who are joyful or angry or afraid or sad or confused, and most of all, that last group. We carry Jesus to them, and unlike the donkey, we can say something about Jesus and tell of his love and tell why Holy Week is so incredibly important. I pray that we try to live our life at least in one respect like this donkey, and that is he just kept it simple. He brought the Savior of the world into Jerusalem, and we can bring the Savior of the world to others, realizing that the reason we're doing that is not to bring any glory on ourselves, but only on Jesus. In his name, amen.